Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, along with Sin City Steve and Rob Bussolari right there on the Vegas.
What happened to my screen?
I don't know, man. You had a perfectly fine screen, and your background was up, and then all of a sudden, you came up on a second screen with a green screen. So anyone who wants to put penises behind Rob, feel free.
That would be nice. All right.
No, I think we're obviously dealing with a fucking clone situation here, because, yeah, dude, I saw two of you, and yeah, now I just see one, and your camera shits off. Yeah. You are not real. It's fucking AI.
I'm real. I'm a real boy.
Oh, well, speaking of real boys, it was Saturday night's main event, and this was obviously a momentous occasion because it was Sol Ruka's first time against Bailey. we've ever seen. And also Saturday night's main event has never had a TNA competitor on it, which being you know, that as part of a tag team match was
was Bailey versus Sol Ruka, so there was a lot of TNA.
Right, exactly. And a lot more tea when Obafemi came out, which Rob, I think you are performing there this coming week, right?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that.
I don't know. You're always playing at Obafemi, Dabizi, Dababu, whatever the fuck that place is.
Yes. Real quick, this Wednesday, the last show at Ola Abibi, 1115 Casino Center. It's either Driver Boulevard, but it's off Charleston in Las Vegas. So come check that out.
This guy will be there. That's for sure. This is also Rob's drug dealer. So,
well, you know, who was actually a regular guest was Sabu.
Great. Well, happy belated, heavenly birthday to Sabu, which was on the 12th. Of course, thank you, John Cena. And you know, this was a huge match here for, John Cena versus Gunther. Jesus. A nice little throwback to these young bucks, talented young bucks, unlike the other ones. Now, Cena did confirm on Kimmel, he said, 23 years of performing WWE, and we're down to our last date. It's been a crazy year where I can announce like 15 months in advance that I'm going to retire. This has really never been done in WWE history. WWE superstars don't necessarily retire. They're always kind of hanging on for one more match. I'm absolutely 100% done the 13th of December on Peacock, my last in-ring performance. And as such, he got choked out, and Gunther let the fans have their anger at him. Just so many different moments here, you know, post-match, we got the bowing by Cena. We got, of course, the goodbye salute, the sneakers and the bands left in the ring. You could hear one of the boys ribbing them and saying, take off the jorts, leave the jorts in the ring,
oh,
too.
Oh, Jesus.
A passing of the torch, symbolically, where John got both titles on his shoulders, the same thing that he did for Hogan way back when. Come on. Where are you? Let's go. Why are you not coming up on screen? I don't know. All right, some things here. Love him, hate him, booed him for a decade straight. Cena carried an entire generation. Main events, pressure, media company on his back every single night. And that was from MJF. Frankie Kazarian, there we go. It was my honor and privilege to be a part of the beginning of John Cena's journey in 2001. Be it training with, wrestling against, road trips, or just becoming friends, his work ethic was always second to none. His attitude, his best asset, an incredible run. Thank you, Cena, from Kazarian there. You know, even they had treats there with the jorts, and you can't see me, cookies, and this, you know, thing set up for John. All right. And of course, here from Justin Wang. Tonight, all the AEW fans are defending Triple H while WWE fans chant AEW at Triple H. What's even happening? And one final thing before we start talking about it. Fun fact, first wrestler to beat John Cena for a championship, Carlito. First wrestler to beat John Cena for a world championship. And the final wrestler to beat Cena for a championship, Edge and Dominic, all were members of the Judgment Day. So there you go. Okay. Now, the match actually happened.
Indeed.
What do y'all think? Anyone?
Well, I personally would not have had him go out losing, but that's just me. Given the fact that that was the path that obviously John wanted to go down, I think that him actually having that smile of realization that hit his face right before he sheepishly taps out, that more than anything conveyed a message of, okay, I'm at peace with this. You know, it was great. It would be easy for me to sit here and just to shit can it and speak all kinds of hyperbole. But the fact is, everything that they did worked. And even with him finally giving up after 20 years of saying never give up, he knows when it's time to give up.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the giving up. Yes, Rob.
Everything that happened last night was contingent on the following day, Gunther selling it really well. And on Monday Night Raw, Gunther sold it really well. He established his dominance. He walked in the ring. He left, came back in, did another victory lap, left, came back in, grabbed the mic one more time and said, I made him tap like a bitch. If you're going to pass it off, the guy has to be a heat magnet and he's got to be dominant. And Gunther is a heat magnet right now, and he's dominant. He's going to be a good future champion, and he's going to earn the responsibility given to him by Cena.
Okay. So one of the things that I think really just makes absolutely no sense is this whole idea that, oh, Sting had a better send-off. Okay. One of the big reasons is that Sting, what was he, 62? Something like that.
Something like that.
Was an active wrestler for 5 years during that whole time period, right? What fans seem to be forgetting is that John Cena was exactly what they hated. And that was the guy who shows up, works a month, and then disappears for 10 months. He'd been doing that for somewhere around 6 years. So for any of this to get this, you know, he shouldn't have lost and all that shit, the honest answer is the guy has not been a consistent active wrestler. He's a movie star. That's what he does. And the fact that anyone is upset, I think, you know, again, one of my favorite things about pro wrestling is how everyone loves to say, oh, it's got to be wrestling, right? It's got to be wrestling. They got to be fighting and blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact of the matter is that everyone who says that about wrestling, who loves wrestling, was just crying about how, well, it's just a show. They should have let him win. What the fuck?
But you know why that is. You know why that is. It's the same logic I used when we were arguing about the readiness of Jade Cargill. If you're going to promote it a certain way and then take a swerve, if you even want to call it that, you're going to get people naturally pissed off. You built up the expectation, you built up the hype, and you went into a scenario where no one was chanting Cena sucks. So, duh, this is going to happen. Fans are fickle. The IWC are our front runners all the time. So you're approaching it logically, and you're approaching it from a business mindset when there's emotion involved.
No, but it's very simple. That's the thing. The thing is that the emotion that should be involved are the same ones who for a decade was, this guy needs to fucking go away. We fucking hate this guy. He's horrible, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's like, and the thing that pissed me off the most is seeing guys who have a little knowledge complain that, oh, the poor fans who paid all this money to be in there.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Who fucking cares? If you are, Steve, if the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the Super Bowl and you paid fucking $5,000 to go see that game and they lose, that's the chance you take by paying $5,000, right?
This is true, but absolutely. But this is the other argument is wrestling
now
is
you're
going
to tell me it's a scripted thing and therefore we should only do what fans want to do because
technically the NFL is classified as entertainment. So,
it's scripted too. Yeah.
Well, when they had the Chiefs, you know, when you take away all the refs in the Chiefs' favor, now they don't even make the playoffs. It's a big difference. So don't ever tell me that sports, you know, wrestling isn't a sport. No, football isn't a sport by the logic of 90% of the I hate wrestling crowd out there.
Yeah, of course not. But for it to be such a powder keg, for like you know was said, you got people who just fucking hate Triple H, and it's, you know, it's like, well, why do you hate Triple H? What has he done?
Should he have been surprised?
Who, Triple H?
No.
See, Steve, Matt, you're very logical, and logic does not work with emotion.
Right.
It doesn't. You hyped up the emotion standpoint and you made the guy the ultimate babyface, 100% loved, and you did it with a purpose in mind to go, all right, well, Cena's going to be gone on Monday. I need to plan for the future, forgetting that all these people are expecting the most sugary win. They wanted Rocky IV. You gave them Rocky VI. Or Rocky V.
They also wanted Cena to be the ultimate heel fucking 10 months ago.
That exactly. Again, your brain is going to logic. It defaults to the... You've got that emotions button ripped right off clean. You're like, there's no emotion in wrestling. We don't build up heels and baby faces. The math says... Fuck the math. The math 10 months ago was Cena went deadpan. I want deadpan. Now the emotion is seen as a baby face. I want sugar to come out of his fucking nipples, you know? We wanted complete baby face. Rocky IV, that was Drago. And you let Drago win at the end of Rocky IV. That's what that was.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It makes sense long-term storytelling. You needed to build Gunther up. But don't be surprised when an arena full of baby face fans who were groomed by Triple H to have that reaction turned on the fucker. You see, Triple H set himself up for that. There's no doubt in the universe. Apply your math to that. Triple H set himself up.
It has nothing to do with that moment.
It's everything to do with that.
That is internet marks that have been pissed at Triple H ever since it's the crowd that continuously says, well, they should bring back Vince.
Wait. Were you angry at my original critique of Jade Cargill going directly to the main roster?
Angry?
You thought it was a mark.
Oh, I thought she just needed polish. It wasn't sure. Angry.
But my logic then was, again, Triple H said she was ready. So I am going to follow Triple H. Triple H said that this is the greatest guy ever. They ran vignette after vignette after vignette.
He never said she was ready. They just introduced the character onto television.
They introduced the character onto the main rosters, indicating.
No.
And then they brought her over to NXT and put her in a throne and didn't even interact with any of the NXT people. In fact, you didn't even have, with regards to the Cena match, you didn't even have a scrum and you didn't even have a mic exchange between the two guys. You made this a foregone conclusion by the way it was scripted and framed that this was a babyface solid in the bag match where Cena gets to have a cake and get his roses and everything is a pure win. And then the fans didn't get their dopamine hit. That was it. It was set up for that. Now, your brain is, again, the Matt Michaels brain wants logic and math, but that doesn't equate when you set it up for emotions.
Right.
That's it.
But you forget.
You're not wrong.
But you forget one thing. And that is, if anyone here should have emotion attached to this, it's the person who was in the wrestling ring with John Cena in 2000 being trained by the guy. So I know John to an extent.
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is that this is exactly what John wanted to do.
Sure. There's
no other way to put it other than the same people who are putting up the shots of Cena should go to AEW to end his career on a high note.
Well, all of that is stupid. All of that is silly. John Cena is like Derek Jeter on the Yankees, or even though he did flip Michael Jordan on the Bulls for the majority of his career, he doesn't belong anywhere else. He was a team player. He bled for that promotion.
I object to that because everyone knows that Michael Jordan truly was a baseball player first and foremost.
I think you are absolutely
wrong bringing up him in this conversation.
It is what it is. It's the same old thing. Triple H, and by the way, Triple H has the chops to take it. He's going to take the abuse on it, and he'll just chug right along. Let's not act like, you know, he's sitting in the back crying. He's rubbing his eyes with $100 bills. He'll go on and piss people off down the road. Again, he'll find another way, and everyone will gripe about it, and then they'll keep watching the product.
Well, it's not that he's trying to find a way. It's just that this is it. That's the creative control person. And he doesn't look at it like Tony looks at it. Tony threw a going away party for his best friend, Uncle Sting. You know, that's what he did. He gave him that. Sting said, I didn't want to fucking win that match. And yet you're winning the match, you know?
Yet look at how beloved that send-off was.
Oh my God.
If you genuinely want to look at it that way.
That crowd shot ropes.
What kind of an impact did that retirement match have?
Right. Genuinely. For a guy who also, again, was 15 years older than where John is not anything other than a wrestler for, you know, all intents and purposes. That's what Sting has been and always was. The idea here, again, was a full-timer. He was on television every week since that company began. Also, you know, the whole idea that he didn't get a send off in WWE because he fucking blew his fucking knee out or wherever the injury was. And that just essentially ended that whole career. So he got a reboot to then continue his career when AEW came about. So there's way different circumstances in that overall. Quite frankly, you know, if you think about it, the one rivalry that Cena had was with The Rock, which was all based on him saying, "You sold out. You don't love this. You don't, you know, you only come back because you're a Hollywood person once in a while." And John ends up doing the same thing. You never saw The Rock get a retirement match or anything like that. It's
The Rock has never said, "I'm retiring." The Rock has always left the door open. Even Sting. Sting, you could say he was retired in WCW, TNA, WWE with the Buckle Bomb, and then AEW.
But he was always a wrestler. That's
right.
And
here's the thing. You got the same result out of both stories with different endings. You pushed a story along. With Sting, you pushed the story along for Darby Allin. You handed him the bat and you said, "Here you go, kid. You're me now." Okay, great. Now with this one, you push Gunther along. Everything went the same way, but no one's going to have Sting lose. I don't give a fuck. You're not having Sting lose.
How did it work out for that kid?
Yeah, but he comes back. He gets hurt all the time. He got hit by a bus and he went up Mount Everest. He went through a plate glass window. He had flamethrowers shot at him and he held flamethrowers. Who cares?
No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Who cares?
No, but I'm saying who cares? No, I don't care. I'm not saying who cares about his career. I'm saying who cares about him getting hurt? He'll come right back. That's his gimmick. And then he chokes out your champion. Beautiful.
Then I'll say it again. It's Darby Allin. Who cares? Just ask Gigi.
Hey, Steve, do you think Darby Allin has earned his roses for his age?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. I can definitely say this, and this is not meant as a slight by any stretch, but this is merely to state how popular Darby Allin is. I was at GalaxyCon in Columbus, Ohio last weekend, and out of all of the professional wrestling talent, you could actually put all of their waiting lines for meet and greets and autographs together, and they would not have equaled the line for Darby Allin. Which honestly kind of took me aback. I was surprised, but you know what? He matters to a lot of people, and there's numbers to it all. But he's done consistent drawing, and his segments have always been near the top. If you want to look at TV ratings, I know TV ratings are a huge thing for a lot of people, but yeah, by virtually every metric, Darby Allin is a draw. So you can't say who cares when it comes to Darby Allin.
Right.
Yeah.
How many times has he had the championship?
They haven't put it on him yet.
They haven't made that call yet, but he's beat the champion. Why? Now they might decide
So he just came back. He just came back from.
No. I'm saying why haven't they? In the 5 years of this company, 6 years of this company, why haven't they? If he is a draw and ratings guy, why haven't they? Why has John Moxley had that belt longer than a fucking wood fucking meme dick shot? Okay.
Because of Cokie McGee. Cokie McGee wanted to have big juiced John Moxley come out there. And the fans like Darby Allin. It's the same reason why they took forever to put it on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was considered a B-plus player. They wrote it into his storyline that he was a B-plus player. And then the overwhelming audience approval forced them to put the belt on him. That's
just ridiculous because Daniel Bryan was already established. People were never established, so.
I do want to just make one comment really quickly. Obviously, you mentioned John Moxley's title reigns. It seems like John Moxley has been the you know, the safety blanket for Tony Khan. Anytime that things have gone sideways in that promotion, or things have not gone in a particular way that they had assumed they would go, they've put the championship on Jon Moxley, and they've let him kind of run with that through uncertain times within the company.
He so, might not be the GOAT, but he's the go-to.
He is absolutely the go-to. And realistically, it would not surprise me if they, in 2026, if we don't start to see the Darby Allin push and actually ascend him up the card. He's held the TNT championship twice, but he's not held any other championships within the promotion. So realistically, he could be positioned as an upper mid carder and even approach on that main event scene by the end of 2026. It remains to be seen.
Agreed. And the reason why they didn't, I mean, you had a year of MJF. You're not going to take the belt off MJF while he's so over with the crowds and feuding with so many other people. You're not going to take the belt off of Moxley on that first run that he had when he's feuding with Jericho. They had some good people. They had some duds. You're not going to take it off of Swerve Strickland while Swerve Strickland was so over. There were some people who were bigger, more heavyweight guys, but they were also really good on the mic. Darby Allin needed some mic skills, and he needed a rub, and he got the rub from Sting. I'm not trying to make a pun right here. Everything went the way it needed to, and now it's worked. He beat Jon Moxley. Moxley put him over. Now, 2026, you could give him a belt. Maybe, I wouldn't say in the first half of 2026, but secondly, the second half of the year, you could definitely see him poised to take a belt over the summer.
Okay, well, what's going to happen this summer is even bigger, because Brock Lesnar is set to end his WWE career at SummerSlam 2026 in Minnesota. So what is it going to be like when the landscape changes and both Cena and Brock are in AEW?
Oh, God.
How's Darby going to do that, being the champion?
He'll do coffin bombs and beat him.
I don't think that you have to worry about Brock Lesnar showing up to AEW, given the fact of everything that has been rumored to be surrounding Brock Lesnar and his endeavors outside of the wrestling ring. AEW shies away from approaching anybody that has any sort of questionable. Anything. So, realistically, say whatever you will about the whole Janelle Grant suit. That would be enough to dissuade Tony Khan.
Right. I'm pretty sure. So what's Ric Flair been up to? Oh, sorry.
Has he been on AEW TV though?
He's been collecting paychecks, man. That's all that needs.
I'm just saying.
And he claims he wants to be on programming, you know, if they gave him an opportunity to run a faction, even if he did it from, you know, just pre-recorded vignettes, I think people would be happy to see it. Or, you know what? Imagine if Tully Blanchard came back one more time. Oh, wait a minute.
Absolutely, man.
If Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson show up, all three of them have, you know, worked for the promotion at one point in time. Oh my God. That would be insane. Even if you, why not?
What the fuck are you talking about? Okay. Anyway,
that'd be great. You're trying to tell me when they fucking Ricky Steamboat out there and they cut a promo and everyone's popping for Ricky Steamboat, you wouldn't be happy to see them even for one night, the three of them get in the ring together and do God knows what, take a bump or something.
Yeah, I want to see Arn Anderson take a fucking bump. That's great. Whatever, dude. If anyone's taking bumps and they do that, it's fucking Tony Khan, and it's not the kind of fucking bumps in the ring. All right, speaking of taking bumps, what happened here? It's dangerous in that ring sometimes.
Macho Mania.
Yeah, but is it justice for Scarlett that she got bumped on her head after taking Scarlett's role?
I mean, realistically, it's the way that that whole situation played out was.
What the hell was that? What was she trying to do? It was a
code red type of attempt.
Yeah, but she didn't hit it. And at some point, somebody has to say, stop attempting it. Whatever's going on, it's not working. They're getting the refs in WWE are getting, you know, the direction in their earpiece. Stop attempting it. It didn't work. Move on to the next play. Go on to the next spot. It didn't make sense, and each botch got worse and worse with each attempt. It looked like a snapdragon suplex, but they're snapping in all the wrong places.
Bro, that match was not good.
Stop and I was at a comedy show, and somebody came up to me and goes, yo, did you see it? Did I see what? SmackDown, Christ sakes, it was a botch fest with Zelina Vega. And I went, whoa, and then I stopped and I watched every frame of it. Went, oh my God, it gets cringier and cringier with each time. The first one you can ignore. You know, there's a slip up. But then she goes back and I don't know what she's trying to do with her legs and the head of Rhea Ripley. You know,
this is not that good.
Well, and here's the other thing. You notice in that match that Zelina Vega's taking all the heat on it because where is Alistair in that match? He's barely in it. Am I wrong? I mean, you barely see him. All you're seeing is Zelina taking botch after or delivering botch after botch and almost seriously injuring Rhea Ripley's neck.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it looked like an AEW match for the women.
Come on. Tony's going to get that in the editing room floor, you know? I mean, come on.
All right. So NXT had deadline on December 6th. We did see, of course, Obafemi taking out Ricky Starks.
Same.
Winning there. Then we had, of course, Javon Evans winning the survival match. And... amazingly enough, Kendall Gray winning the women's. So,
she looks like a brunette Maxine Dupree.
She's a lot better than a brunette Maxine Dupree. Pretty good, talented young lady there. And the what is it? Evolve Women's Champion or whatever. I don't even know what some of these titles are anymore.
Don't worry. They'll give it to Mercedes Moné at the end of the week.
Who? So, yeah, you know, NXT having their stuff going on. Of course, you know, having the main roster, you know, spots here on the Saturday night's main event. Again, just, you know, more opportunity for them to showcase TNA talent, getting a chance to showcase. So, and that, you know, brings in the fact that TNA is headed to AMC. The deal is expected to be around $30 million. 1/15/26 is the launch date. The sources indicate WWE intends to end its NXT TNA partnership. Their agreement includes a 60-day termination clause, and the AMC deal activates it. Which 60-day termination clause activates it. I don't know. I don't know if any of that is true, but you know, you're starting to see these pretty little pictures showing up, and it's about time that they get a little more exposure than just on the network that their company happens to own. So, you know, do we see the end of the TNA WWE relationship, or does it, you know, does it end up furthering? Because I can't see AMC being like, well, we don't want our wrestlers on your big time.
Isn't that where they have the positive Dark Side of the Ring show, where it was the WWE version and they were doing, you know, documentaries of all the WWE wrestlers.
No,
I thought it's
A&E.
A&E. All right, they're close enough. At the end of the day, you're not going to have a Leon Slater match and still try to cross-promote as well as they do. It's been a boon for both companies. I am enjoying it. They're doing a better cross-promotion than AEW did with TNA. And we've seen some great stuff happen. So, fuck it. Why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I don't think the partnership ends. I think that there have actually been people that have come out and said that report was incorrect. So it makes sense to keep that partnership going. It has been beneficial on both sides, and I think that obviously WWE essentially has the a direct pipeline to bringing in talents from TNA, as we've seen, you know, with Jordan Grace, with Joe Hendry. It's almost like as if that's kind of like an off ramp is this partnership that they've got.
Well,
it's been beneficial.
And you would also imagine that if AMC is throwing $30 million that way, it also helps to know that you might have, you know, one or two of the NXT people popping up on your network. So I just it would make sense.
Even if it was just, say, we want to harvest the best TNA has to offer, fuck it. It's good programming.
For yeah. Sure. And then, of course, Netflix apparently has won the bid for Warner Brothers Discovery, outbidding favorites Comcast and Paramount until apparently now the... Oh my gosh, come on. I can't get anything.
More RAM. You need more RAM in your computer.
No. Just there we go. Paramount launches a hostile $78 billion bid for Warner Brothers Discovery, challenging Netflix.
Yep.
Does it matter?
Yeah. So I can break this down a bit, if you guys don't mind. So
please.
Essentially the offer from Netflix was to be roughly $24 a share to the shareholders and about $4.50 worth of Netflix stock per share of WBD stock owned. So that was the offer that won. The offer that we saw, and that was for the streaming property. So that was for HBO Max. That was for the IPs. That was not for the linear TV networks. So that is something that is very distinct. Is they were looking at the IPs, they were looking at the streaming services, and that would be what Netflix would essentially take over. Okay. Paramount just simply went in, and the reason why it's being called a hostile takeover is they're appealing directly to the stockholders, and they're saying $30 per share, all in, we want everything. So they want the streaming, they want the linear networks, they want the IPs, they want everything associated with WBD, all in for $30 a share to the shareholders.
They want all of the hard drives of Mandy Rose.
Yeah, basically. What is interesting to note is as of the market closing today, the WBD stock itself, if you were to sell it, not contingent upon this deal, is currently at $29.71. So, yeah, right at that $30 mark anyway. So pretty interesting that they haven't quite made a decision on this. And if you're a stockholder, not financial advice by any stretch of the word, but you pick your poison. Do you want to sell now? Do you want to hold?
There you go. And again, it was supposed to be an $82.7 billion purchase. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Will it affect AEW? Yeah, I mean,
the reason why I say no is because AEW is in place until the end of 2027. So if anything happens, these contracts that are signed, they will see those to the end of those contracts. Now, obviously, AEW's home after that point, that is the question. What would they do in that instance? And if you are an AEW fan, if you are, you know, if you have some loyalty to AEW, whatever, or if you're just point blank looking for the best possible scenario, you should be hoping for a Paramount purchase of WBD. Because dare I say, if Netflix does make that purchase, I highly doubt that they would choose to have more than one wrestling promotion on their streaming service.
They would want AEW.
That's speculation. That's purely speculation, not financial advice. Just have to make sure I cover my ass. But yeah, that's what I would think to be true on that. So yeah, if you are an AEW fan, you might want to hope for the Ellison purchase to be the one that gets chosen.
Well, it's and 2 years is an eternity away.
Yes.
Because so much can happen in that time. And it's also going to depend on how Tony behaves also, because everything is contingent upon, again, logic and the people involved are not necessarily logical. So
true.
Yeah. Speaking of not logical, winter's coming.
Wow.
I saw a picture of Mandy Rose and, you know, it is coming.
Dude, go back to that last image, please. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this in a week where the match that's going to get the most press, the most love, and everything will be that John Cena-Gunther match. I have to say this. The Kyle Fletcher versus Speedball Mike Bailey match is as good of a match as you will see on free TV in any promotion, any time of the year. It was phenomenal. It was the best match of the Continental Classic. And incidentally, it went sub 20 minutes. There's a 20-minute time limit on the Continental Classic matches. So it went like 19 minutes, 20 seconds. But yeah, Kyle Fletcher, Speedball Mike Bailey, two guys that have had great years for AEW. It's really good to see Speedball, namely, picking up the win over Fletcher in that high profile of a match. Speedball's a great dude, and it's about time that people are starting to recognize just how good he is in the ring as well.
I think Speedball needs to tell us about that.
I did such an amazing, incredible job in the ring, and I will win, and in such an amazing fashion again. Go, go, Power Rangers!
Wow. And so another thing that we should talk about, and this is just another one in the list. We saw Eddie Kingston come up just short in his bid for the AEW World Championship against Samoa Joe. But in that match, we did see Samoa Joe hit Eddie Kingston with an AA, get him into the STF, look dead set into the camera and salute. It was awesome. That anytime that you can see an exchange like that, and AEW uploaded that to their socials after the fact, it is, and I've said it numerous times throughout this whole John Cena farewell tour, it's awesome when they do make those little nods and they do catch the air and they do get even more publicity from AEW's social media team, you know, retweeting those things or pushing those out. That's what we want. At the end of the day, we're all fans. You know, drop the bullshit. Drop the tribalism.
Well, speaking of dropping the tribalism, can we just drop this? Let's drop this. Come on. Will and I, Gail and Harley Quinn.
Harley Cameron.
I was happy with that one. I was happy.
Lord have mercy.
I mean, one half of that tag team is fine. The other one,
We know how much you hate Willow, but the fact is, man, it props to them for putting the titles on a, let's be real, an AEW original team. You know, this is something that came together organically, as part of this tournament. And yeah, it got over. You had people with signs in the audience. You had the chance that, you know, we're starting up throughout the show. And in various segments, you saw people actually giving a very solid reaction to the Babes of Wrath. And it's for people that say AEW can't grow stars organically, I think that we're starting to see that with the Babes of Wrath. I love it. Keep it up. Do not let them get lost in the shuffle.
So far, so good with the women. They did what they were supposed to do, what we were asking for all these months and years even. Have a women's tag team, great. Do a good job with it, yes. They built it up. It wasn't any hard feelings at the end of it, which I appreciated. It doesn't always have to be. Now I'm going to be a heel because I didn't get my way. It looked like for a second Toni Storm was going to go in that direction, and she didn't. I was just happy with the honorable ending. And now you can do the heel tag teams and do some storylines. But Harley Cameron getting her finisher out there and then Willow Nightingale getting the hot tag, fuck yeah, why not? They wrestled well. It was a good all-around performance.
Yeah. And some shocking news, Deonna Purrazzo won the first ever ROH Women's Pure Championship.
Didn't she win that in TNA when they had it?
Well, this is ROH's first one.
Yeah.
I guess the most shocking news is that she's still under contract and
pretty much
around. So
I was in the building for that that championship match, and I can say that sitting right there facing the hard camera
with the other 10 people.
With the other 10 people in the audience, that Deonna Purrazzo definitely showed why she should have that pure championship. And well,
just because she made the camera hard, Steve?
No.
Well, no, wait a minute. I have a question, Steve. Was that a hard cam or was that a hard cell phone cam? I mean, it's Ring of Honor.
Well, yeah, great call. But no, they brought the full-on rig, man. The whole Deonna Purrazzo title win, she actually kind of cracked a little bit because and obviously this was facing away from the hard cam, so she didn't show that to the viewing audience. A pretty decent portion of the crowd were chanting to her, "You deserve it." She overheard it, and there was a little bit of a stunning kind of a realization of, holy shit, this is awesome. But then obviously she had to get it right back together. And then she turned her face to the hard cam again. And she was the heel, so she had to heel out for the camera. It was a really cool thing, but something very cool to see when you can tell somebody really, really wants something to happen and that it means a lot to that person.
Yeah, I think what we actually heard was...
Wow.
Oh man.
Fucking brutal.
Oh boy. Bryan Danielson, his career is over. Degeneration throughout my entire neck from C1 to T2. Holy shit. So glad he came back and so glad he wrestled. Good for him. What a fucking moron. In terms of just putting himself at that risk. At any point, he could have been paralyzed. And thank God that didn't happen. I hope he just does not continue to try to get cleared, because as great as he is, as wonderful as a person he seems to be, you don't need to be doing that. no matter how much you love it. So Tony Khan says AEW has really closed the gap on WWE in 2025, making a significant year for the promotion on the company's roster and shows. He shared, I think AEW is where the best wrestle. I think that we have the best roster of wrestlers in the world today, and we're putting on consistently awesome shows that no one sees. Khan emphasized that AEW's growth isn't just about talent. It's about building a global presence. AEW's on now in over 150 countries, and we've built this AEW Wrestling League, into something where they watch it all over the world. And I'm really proud of that. Daddy's not, but I am. Looking ahead, Khan's vision is clear. While he admits he doesn't have a crystal ball, but he does have an eight ball. Quote, my passion for this isn't going anywhere. It's been something I've been loving and dreaming to do for over 30 years. I don't ever want to stop with AEW. He hopes to continue expanding AEW's reach, delivering top-tier shows, and pushing boundaries in wrestling. To have a wrestling promotion that is a challenger company doing things that we're doing, some of them are unprecedented, and some of them are things that have not been done in over 25 years. He wrapped up with reflecting on the year with gratitude and excitement for what's ahead. I can't imagine a better year. And if we keep doing the things we're doing right now, having great pay-per-views, putting on great Dynamites on TBS, great collisions on TNT, and keeping the partnership with HBO Max going, maybe, hopefully, go to some new countries, visit some new territories, expand.
Listen, all right, are you done laughing at yourself?
No, I just, here's the thing. No matter about AEW itself, this guy is just a fucking moron. I'm sorry. Listen to the way he talks. He's fucking two. And he just pisses me off. Now, good for them. Good for what they're putting out. Good for the product. And hopefully growth. But just leave, Tony, please. Please, leave. Go away. Go. And thank you.
All right.
Okay. Is this the time where Steve predicts how fucked up AEW is going to be next week?
Sure. Hit the drop. All right, so the AEW Holiday Bash is going to be a three-hour block of programming coming to you this Wednesday. So, yeah, you're going to get 3 hours of AEW on Wednesday. They've already announced several matches. There are a couple of matches in the Continental Classic, which still rages on. And quite frankly, the quality of matches in the tournament this year are, it's better than either of the other 2 years. So you're seeing amazing quality matches every single show. So whether it's Dynamite or Collision, yeah, they really have made those shows into must-see. If you're a fan of in-ring storytelling, professional wrestling, yeah. But the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal comes to AEW's Holiday Bash from Manchester, England. And yeah, the over-under this week is going to be that MJF is going to enter your Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale, and MJF will actually win your AEW Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale. Why? Because no one else has ever held that ring, and he's better than you, and y'all know it.
Fair enough. I think that's a great idea. Why not? And I think, you know what? They should expand to 3 hours. I don't think that should be something that's, you know, a one-time thing. The roster is too big.
Yeah.
It makes sense to be 3 hours.
They've done collision. Well, to have Dynamite be 3 hours. Yeah. So from eight to 11 on Wednesday, which makes all the sense in the world. And the other thing too is the times that they've done this type of a thing where they've put 3 hours of programming together on a Wednesday night, it's actually drawn pretty well when they've made it known that it is going to be a 3 hour block. Obviously, you know, promoting continues to be a problem for AEW, but as long as they can actually, you know, promote the fact that AEW Dynamite is going to 3 hours or, you know, whatever the situation is, or like in the Holiday Bash promotion stuff that they've done. Yeah, that needs to happen. And that's the only way to adequately showcase the roster that they have. This might be one of the few times where I completely agree with you, Matt Michaels.
Yeah, this might be one of the few times that I actually say something that, you know, can actually improve their product. So, and speaking of product. All right. Presidential pontification. Hold on there. We got to get you going here.
Excuse me. Your president's joking, okay? Do you want to go into a drug boat in Venezuela and get bombed? Okay. I'm talking about gold and diamonds, something I know a lot about. Gold and diamonds. And you know what? They always give the Jewish kid the diamond ring. I don't know. Just because his uncle makes the rings on the Lower East Side doesn't mean he deserves to get one every dime. Okay? Getting a little boring. Getting a little boring right now. This is DEI on steroids. Okay? They deserve to give it to the cowboy, because he's an American patriot, okay? Hangman Adam Page deserves a diamond ring, all right? Let's give him his diamond roses, his gold roses even. This is so annoying that we have to see this year in and year out, that they give the golden boy because he's in the Old Testament, okay? What about somebody from the New Testament, okay? What's wrong with somebody who likes the New Testament getting a diamond ring, okay? They wrote a lot of good books in that New Testament, and one of those guys should get the diamond ring, okay? He's got three or four already, and to be honest, a lot of those are gold-plated. They're not even real diamonds, okay? It's a different ring every time he puts it on. If you look at the camera every time, Chris, you're not going to put a diamond ring in your jack, okay? That's going to cut deep, okay? And he's already been circumcised once. I'm sure that diamond ring has probably circumcised him a few times. He's probably pulling out 3 inches now is all I'm saying. So give the diamond ring to somebody else, like Hangman Adam Page, blonde hair, blue eyes, okay? He's part of the right tribe, okay? That's all I'm trying to say, all right? He's one of the good ones, okay, Tony? Tony Conjob, okay? All right? He's one of the good ones. Give it to Diamond Dallas Page, okay? There you go. All right.
Wow. Okay. So, internet dump. Cardona and Mance Warner, they had that final resolution. Man, they had a street fight, and it was brutal. It was pretty fucking awesome. TNA now has had some pretty brutal and bloody matches, for them saying they weren't going to do bloody matches after what we saw here in Vegas. So that's kind of encouraging. Speaking of encouraging, Cross just taking out Matt Riddle in MLW. Pretty awesome to see that. Is Eddie Kingston the only wrestler in history to get cleared by doctors and somehow come back in worse shape, slower, and more out of breath than when he got hurt himself? Bro looked like he fought the injury, and the injury won a fucking buffet forfeit.
Bro, oh, what's going on with the second helping of the buffet?
RIP to Larry, CM Punk's dog. That was sad news last week.
Larry.
Yeah, I hate to see that happening. This was great. As per Sportskeeda, Zoe Stark might be the mystery attacker of CM Punk at Survivor Series in San Diego. Everyone thinks it's Austin Theory, but if you look closely, the mystery attacker looks like a woman. Zoe Stark has big muscles, just like the mystery attacker, and she can get into the spotlight again if she aligns with Paul Heyman. It all makes sense, man. The mystery attacker has to be Zoe.
Except...
Yep.
Tonight's episode.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yep. We finally get to see him with his glorious buzz cut.
Yeah. Gave him a nice little change and a gimmick change.
No hair plugs on him. They made it obvious.
Yeah. It's great to see Jericho back. Oh, wait. It wasn't Jericho. What? Oh, I thought it was
Austin
Jericho.
Austin Theory tonight.
Will Ferrell.
Okay. Woo.
Speaking of woo, how to woo a woman? Step one. Woo.
Woo.
What I think I look like when I discuss wrestling, what I actually look like.
Why can't it be both? I would do the bottom with the top suit.
So accurate.
Yep.
Man, you got to get that top suit. The two Kevins.
Home
Alone and Kevin Owens.
Also Home Alone.
Yeah. Time travel doesn't exist. Time travel. That's pretty fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Whoever that dude is, man. Damn, spot on, right?
Steiner fucked his mom for sure.
Wow. Wow. Me and the mirror versus me in photos.
Seems legit.
The staff here greets everyone with a "Hey, yo!" They're at good old Scott Hall on whatever campus that is.
I went to the Razor Ramon campus.
Well, I'm sure you did. When the couple at the bar buying you drinks starts giving you this look.
Oh shit!
Hello.
Oh god.
Whenever Bill Goldberg shows up at Sugar Factory in Las Vegas, it's less of a meet and greet, more of a sugar-fueled spectacle. Surrounded by their outrageously oversized treats, most famously the King Kong Sundae, he hangs out with fans, signs autographs, and occasionally attempts to conquer a dessert that looks like it should come with a warning label. And look at Bill Goldberg in town.
Damn. Holy shit.
Yeah,
damn, Bill. King Kong.
Yeah. So, again, if you're around Sugar Factory here in Las Vegas, that looks pretty freaking amazing.
Fucking Kurt Angle.
I was Kurt Angle, and I stared at you. Speaking of Kurt Angle, Giovanna Angle. Nope, you're retired. Don't even try thinking about it, Kurt. And, of course, Kurt. You're a boy in a man's world, and I'm a man who loves to play with boys. No, wait a minute. Shut up. Oh, classic Kurt. Classic Kurt Angle. WWE superstars as kids, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Big Show, Brock Lesnar.
Where's the lie?
No Big kidding, show. Right? John Cena slowly turning into Ernest.
Oh God, we do this every week. Just do it. Just do it.
Saying, man.
Just do it. Come on.
Oh, he can't do it because he's actually John Cena Riley.
Jeez. For your health.
Oh man. My mom telling 5-year-old me not to eat Lego. Thinking about eating that Lego. And of course it was John Cena retirement eve. Don't forget to leave out your jorts and wristbands for
wait a minute. Those jorts look like they came from AJ Lee.
Hello.
Maybe they did. Of course, the John Cena Christmas tree. Some fan put that together. Pretty freaking sweet. Tony, John Cena tapped to Gunther in his last match, and people are pissed.
Hold on. You're kidding me, right? I mean, Jesus Christ. That's part of the business, Cobb. Okay? You got to look out at the lights.
How is your Tony Soprano, huh?
Cobb, you got to go out looking at the fucking lights, all right? What are you getting all fucking worked up for? The fucking guy's supposed to lose. Jesus Christ almighty. I'm going to go out to the bottom bing now. The fuck out of here. Give me Ajita.
Oh, man. The saddest part of being a wrestling fan isn't the losses. It's watching someone debut, grow into greatness, take over your life in real time, and then realizing you've grown old enough to watch them walk away. Yeah. And, of course, Hogan, Austin, Shawn, Taker, just a few examples there of this photo. So true and spot on. When somebody tries to hurt you, but you're already dead inside.
That came out the day of.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Failure.
You've heard of Elf on a Shelf. Now get ready for Macho and the Nachos. You've heard of Elf on the Shelf. Now get ready for Macho on a Matzah.
Jeez. That one didn't work as well.
And Steve, can you tell me what this is?
That be a Minoru on a menorah.
That was good. That was good. Very good.
Oh man.
8 days and nights of the stone pit. Oh, hello.
The Undertaker.
Oh Jesus.
Hello.
And no matter how old you are, you always want to imitate The Undertaker. Oh, boy.
Well played.
Brock Lesnar visiting with AEW wrestlers.
Oh, my God. That's the fucking weapon, Josh Alexander.
Oh, man. Oh, I love you, Dad. I can share if you love your dad.
No, oh my God.
Dude, no. That's not good, man. You're going to hell for that one.
Really? What could be worse than that then? Bailey's t-shirt got Booker saying, tell me,
God.
Just read that.
That's awesome.
Oh, God.
And, of course, for both Steve and myself, we were sent a birthday greeting from Tony Khan for our birthdays this past week. So thank you, Mr. Khan. We had wonderful birthdays, unfortunately, there was no 8-Balls around, so...
Well, currently, I am going to be going on a trip to Venezuela because I hear they have better snow there than in Las Vegas and Mount Charleston.
Hey, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. But I do have to say thank you to Tony Khan for giving me Jon Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita. Being there live was awesome. So thank you again. Speaking of being live, I know that we're about ready to wind it down, but John Cena is keeping busy. His WWE retirement is done at this point, but he's already booked for the Fan Expo in New Orleans and the MegaCon in Orlando. The New Orleans Fest is in January. MegaCon is in March. So John Cena is he's going to be a mainstay at these actor celebrity conventions. So check that stuff out.
Yeah. All right. What do you got going on, Rob?
Well, at the 22nd, next Monday, I will be at the Bonfire, 610 East Naples Drive, for Mistress K's show. So it'll be a Christmas Eve type show. There will be another show that week, Time to Be Determined. I will be posting that all on my site at Vegas Trump Guy. So two shows next week for certain. On Sunday nights, we will be the Four Horsemen, that is, of comedy. We will be on West Charleston, I want to say 6310, the Neighborhood Bar, for a new feature slash open mic show. So you'll get to see your Four Horsemen featured, which will be myself, Lex Las Vegas, Mike Stiggs, and or J-Dab, or the comedian Khalil Mack. Khalil, we had a hard time getting him to show up. But all are welcome. If you want to see some great comedy, the food will be served by Black Tacos. They will be in the house serving some great food, Mexican and Italian food. So come out. It's a free comedy show, but you got to pay for the tacos and the beer.
Okay. Steve, tell us about the tacos and the beer that you're serving up.
Exactly, man. Well, I'm not serving any tacos or beer, but I do want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.